This is All Things Considered from NPR News. I'm Robert Siegel. Now, a story of one small town in West Virginia where the joy of Christmas is entwined with memories of a tragedy. 60 years ago, the community lost 5 children, but as Stacy Horn tells us, just how they were lost remains the subject of some debate.
Fayetteville's a small town. The main street doesn't run any longer than 100 yards. All the buildings look old, just the signs appear new. Other than music that plays from a loudspeaker mounted on the storefront, the streets are quiet. Inside, residents talk of gifts and parties, and inevitably, what really happened to the Sauter family on Christmas morning 60 years ago.
There was a fire
and 5 children burned.
It was an Italian family.
I don't think it was an accident.
The family never accepted it.
And it was all types of rumors.
I don't think the children were burned up in it.
I don't want to repeat any of these, but
there were just rumors they may have not died in the fire.
It was weird.
Everyone has an opinion about the fire. Here's what we know. When George and Jenny Sauter went to sleep on Christmas Eve, 9 of their 10 children were with them. One son was away in the military. The author of West Virginia Unsolved Murders, local writer George Bragg, tells the story.
Jenny woke up. She heard a noise. She got up and checked that out and went back to bed, and she smelled smoke. And she screamed for her husband and woke him up, and then they both hollered upstairs where there were 2 sons sleeping in one room and the other 5 children sleeping in the other room.
The fire moves fast. Retired Fayetteville Fire Chief Roy Cruikshank, who was still working in a factory at the time, remembers coming home from work that night.
I worked at a midnight shift, and I drove home, and as I drove by that place, it was a windy night. There was strong winds blowing just like a furnace. They lived a higher floor, and underneath they had oil drums and trucks and bulldozers and things all there, you know.
Neighbors reached Chief F.J. Morris at the Fayetteville Fire Department a little after 1 in the morning. It's now Christmas. Children are trapped, they say, but no fire truck is sent until 8 o'clock, 7 hours later. Another retired fire chief, Steve Cruikshank, Roy's son, tries to explain the delay.
They didn't even have a fire siren. So somebody calls, and they'd have to call the operator, you know, Sarah, get me. So when they call them, then they've got to turn around and call everybody else. And this guy calls this guy, and this guy calls this guy.
The parents and 4 of their children escape. But 5 of the Sauter children, ages 5, 8, 9, 12, and 14, are never seen again. At this point, events unfold in a way that almost guarantee that the story will be forever surrounded by misinformation, wishful thinking, and rumor. All that's left of the house is a basement full of ashes. A brief, informal search takes place, but instead of the skeletons they expect to find, there are just a few bones and pieces of internal organs. The family isn't told about what they found. Because it's Christmas, a more thorough search is postponed. The fire marshal tells the Sauter family to leave the site as it is. "We'll come back and finish the job," the official says. But the father, George Sauter, ignores the fire marshal. Before a week is up, he gets a bulldozer and pushes 4 or 5 feet of dirt into what's left of his home, a shrine. The family plants flowers.
You can't really blame the Sauters for... I'm sure at the time they assumed that that was the burial ground, and they just covered that over.
2 years pass. George Sauter sees a newspaper photo of school children in New York. He's sure one of the children is his missing daughter, Betty. He jumps in his pickup and drives to Manhattan. He insists on seeing the child, but they don't let him. He doesn't give up. Now he's convinced the kids are alive. If not in New York, somewhere. The Sauters hire a man named Tinsley, the first of many private detectives. Around the same time, Fayetteville Fire Chief Morris reappears to provide one of the most bizarre elements of the story. Unsolved Murder author George Bragg tells how.
Morris claimed that he buried a powder box, which was held a material like dynamite for use in the mines, and that he had found a body part, what looked to him like was part of a vertebrae with some organs attached, and that he put that in the powder box and buried it approximately 1.5 feet deep at the site.
If the box of remains can be recovered, that would be proof that the children died that night. The family could finally move on. George Sauter and Tinsley asked the chief to show them where he buried the box.
They got together and came and dug the box up. They took it straight to a funeral home and asked the person in charge there to open the box and examine the interior. When he did open that box, he found what looked like a fresh beef liver.
Now newspapers get hold of the story. Strangers report spotting the Sodder kids around the country. None of the leads go anywhere. Today, you don't find any trace of the 1945 fire here at the scene. Cars speed past a new white house at the end of a gravel driveway. A few Christmas decorations are hung here and there around the house. Nothing stands out. But for decades, there was something, a huge reminder of the tragedy. In 1952, the Sodders pinned all their hopes to a billboard. On it were black and white photographs of each missing child and an account of the fire. It offered a $5,000 reward for information leading to the recovery of any or all of their children. Again, Fayetteville author George Bragg.
For years, people would pull over right here and walk up to there. And it had a lot of trees around it, and it was really well done, and they took care of it. And it was a normal-sized billboard, but it was built a lot closer to the ground. It was only, the bottom of it was probably about 2 feet above the ground. And you could actually walk up to it. And when you walked up to that sign, you were looking right in the faces of the children.
The billboard fed new rumors. The children had been sold to an orphanage. They were taken to Italy. And in persistent whispers, the mafia was involved. Nonsense, says George Martins. He's the former head of the crime commission that covered West Virginia.
Even if the mafia had a presence in West Virginia at that time, the modus operandi of this particular event doesn't in any way comport with what the mafia would have done. To me, this is it's like saying the Martians came and landed in the field and took these children away.
The Sodder family clings to a memory. We didn't see the five kids at the windows crying for help. They weren't there. Not unusual, says West Virginia State Fire Marshal Sterling Lewis.
When you have kids, usually under the age of 12 to 13, the 12 to 13 start trying to get out. If you get in lower, then they're going to hide. You know, they feel heat, they smell smoke, they're choking. They don't think about going to the window, to the door. We found them under beds, we found them in closets, we found them crawled up in the bathtub.
For the rest of his life, George Sodder traveled the country tracking down rumors of his missing kids. He died in 1969, his wife Jenny 20 years later. After her death, the billboard came down. The youngest child who survived the fire, Sylvia, said she didn't want her voice recorded, but what she did want is to fulfill her parents' wish to keep the story alive. So every Christmas, the people of Fayetteville go over what happened that night, repeating the same reasons for believing their version of the story. Without physical evidence, they can't say for sure, but fire experts are confident that the blaze that took place in 1945 probably cost the Sodder children their lives. For some, the children died 60 years ago. For the family and many of their neighbors who grew up looking into the faces of the Sodder children and who firmly believe that the children are still out there, this could be the Christmas that they finally come home.
Oh, the fire is slowly dying, and my dear...
For NPR News, I'm Stacey Horn.
Stacey Horn is author of the book Restless Sleep, about New York City's cold cases. There are pictures of the missing Sodder children at our website, npr.org. You're listening to All Things Considered from NPR News.